This is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Lunch hour is here. Edley'sBBQ.com is there for you. Delivery options, 12 South, East Nashville, Sylvan Park. You can also dine in and check out Poncho and Lefty's Cantina. Tacos, tequila, beer.
So Doug Matthews joined us, and I'm going to read the exact... Well, you're going to have to unmute your mic so we can hear that. Mm.
I did. Mm.
There,
mm.
I wanted to hear that one more time.
He basically shut down every speculatory...
Yes, thing. He did. But let me read the exact quote from Doug Matthews. Kevin Steele was hired by Jeremy Pruitt. Let me repeat this slowly because some refuse to listen. Kevin Steele was hired by Jeremy Pruitt. That was the quote from Doug Matthews. So we tweeted this out. People heard it. And Tennessee fans are in an uproar over this. and the biggest cause for uproar is this.
Okay.
They're mad at Philip Fulmer because if that's the case, Philip Fulmer should be saying that and not Doug Matthews. They're saying if this is the case, you could squash everything by releasing one paragraph statement saying Jeremy Pruitt is our head coach. We're moving forward with him. He made this hire. He's allowed to make hires. My response to that is he's not saying that because he can't say that because the investigation is ongoing. We know Philip Fulmer wants Jeremy Pruitt to be the head coach. But until this investigation is wrapped, which apparently it's not,
right,
he can't say that. Now, will I feel a little bit more at ease if I'm a Tennessee fan that things are moving in one direction if they hire an offensive line coach to go along with this? Yes, I would, because Kevin Steele, to me, is just such a no-brainer. I believe that Jeremy Pruitt wants Kevin Steele on staff. I believe that Philip Fulmer wants him at Tennessee. I don't think there was some big disagreement about hiring Kevin Steele, right? There could be a little bit more nuance in whoever the offensive line coach is going to be for a number of factors. But for the people saying, well, Philip Fulmer is at fault because Philip Fulmer is keeping everyone in the dark, and that's leading to this speculation and this dumpster fire that everybody thinks Tennessee is and yada, yada, yada. I don't think Philip Fulmer can say anything until they get a handle on what exactly has gone on in this investigation. And that's why you're hearing silence.
Chad?
Are you guys with me or against me?
No, I think you're right. I think you're correct.
Yeah, but also putting out the statement of support for your guy is always an awkward thing. Plus, what if the investigation turns up bad and then he's
not
your head coach?
That's what Chad's saying.
Yeah.
Now, they could have disputed the ESPN report that there was a hiring freeze. And even Doug Matthews
says, that's what I say. If there's not a hiring freeze,
there clearly was.
You just get that to Hubs or Austin or somebody that it's wrong.
But the hiring freeze,
even Doug says, I don't know. Maybe there was a hiring freeze and now it's thawed.
That's why it's so easy to make the assumption yesterday that Pruitt didn't hire Steele. If you saw the report late last week that there's a hiring freeze with the program. I mean, you put two and two together and you automatically think, oh, this is Fulmer or someone else above him that's signing off on this.
And
Doug is saying that, of course, they approved the hire, but Pruitt made it.
Well, and something else I asked Doug about that, and Dave Ubben did write a really good piece on, if Jeremy Pruitt fails at Tennessee and they make another hire, it's not because Jeremy Pruitt wasn't given what he needed,
It'll be on him.
Yes, he wanted a new weight room. They spent $675,000 to do that. They spent over $600,000 on another project that he wanted done. He was given everything that he needed. So from a facilities investment standpoint, Tennessee is committed. But this idea that because other programs are firing their coach and Tennessee's not, well, that's just proof that Tennessee's happy being 3-7 and they're not committed. That's what I wanted to ask Doug about.
Speaking of weight room, is the strength and conditioning coach trying to get a job at South Carolina?
I think he took that job. It's the assistant.
Did. Oh, the assistant.
Bryson Gerardo, I think is his name.
Okay.
I think it's one of their assistant
strength coaches. Okay, that's one of
it's his alma mater.
Yeah. I'm reading the headline and I'm trying to.
So this goes to.
I thought they were out of another strength and conditioning.
Well, that's why I asked Doug the direct question. Is anything going on currently preventing them from doing their jobs the way they need to do it? Because if coaches are looking around, they're trying to jump off. If the players are leaving, if you can't recruit, they just got a really good transfer quarterback in the midst of all this. But if you're not able to lure transfers over, if recruiting is struggling because of all this, that's something I'd want to know if I'm a Tennessee fan. Is this investigation preventing them from doing their jobs? I think any reasonable person that's being recruited by Tennessee right now might want to take a wait-and-see approach, right?
Of course.
If you're a transfer or a player.
They just do this to themselves. They create this whole conversation. We could be talking about, I don't know, a quarterback situation going forward, what kind of quarterback could they bring in, all of that stuff.
And well, one thing has not changed. This is a make-or-break season coming up, and it's not even that. It's really a make-or-break month and a half to kick off the year for Jeremy Pruitt. Because while going into this year, I was at the I'm out front saying, look, I'm not firing a coach during the pandemic year. Just not. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to count, Chad, against him the following year with the results.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen other coaches.
The clock is accelerated.
Yes, correct.
I mean, it's not just make or break 2021. It's show immediate improvement.
Immediate.
I mean, you take the field in game number one against, I think it's Bowling Green is their first opponent. You better look like a better coached, more organized team. Your offense better look more explosive.
But
you better beat Pittsburgh at home.
Right.
You better look better against Florida, if you lose.
That
you
would have been the case with or without the talk we're having now. I mean, that would not change.
And Ricky in West End was saying, well, Kevin Steele is a mistake to bring him on because it's self-sabotage, because now when things go south, Tennessee fans are going to clamor for Kevin Steele to be the head coach. Tennessee fans aren't ever going to clamor for Kevin Steele to be the permanent head coach. What Kevin Steele does, yes, there may be Tennessee fans say, hey, you've got an interim right there who went to the school. If you're so tired of Jeremy Pruitt, you want something different, let him win the job, right? He can coach after game number four, and if they win a lot, then he should be considered for the head coaching job. I don't think there's going to be some John Gruden-level love affair for Kevin Steele to be the head coach at Tennessee at any point.
But that segment of the fan base is going to be there regardless, and they're going to find someone to latch on to. It was T. Martin, you know.
Or Jay Graham. Jay Graham. I mean, it's going to be one of those. You could say that about any Tennessee guy on staff.
Yes.
Chad, your thoughts when you see Hugh Freeze recite the game maxims?
Uh-oh. Level of arousal.
Oh, mine? Minus two.
Okay.
I thought it was a brilliant move by him. He's live during the national championship game doing this.
I will say this. I watched some of that.
It's like Kiffin going on while he's the head coach at Florida Atlantic, coming on the stations in Tennessee and saying, go Vols, at the end and hanging up. I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant posturing.
John Gruden had that interview where he mentioned Rocky Top and all that when the groomers were at their peak, right? That was trolling.
Groomers.
There's something both very likable and unlikable at the same time about Hugh Freeze in that coaching film room session.
Yeah.
There's just something
I thought it was
off about him, but also the type of guy when I'm listening to him.
I respected it, I'll be honest.
He seems like a nice enough guy to sit around and watch a game with. Like when he's talking about what's happening,
he's playing the game. Yeah, I know. I agree.
He comes across as very, almost arrogant level of confidence.
But here's it, this.
Which
is
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
This is
for
a
head
gift.
Coach. That's what struck me.
This is a gift that some people possess, and others, you have to practice this to fake it. Hugh Freeze, and I've only been around him twice. In both instances, he can carry on a conversation with anybody in the room and make you feel like you're with him for like the 30th time in your life and not the first or the second.
That's a good ability to have as a
salesman. There's a salesman aspect to it. But I acknowledge that on the front end of it, but at the same time, like, I respect it. Like, he's a very normal guy to chat with. And I thought that came out in the film room piece that I watched.
I'm on record that I think that Tennessee should look elsewhere for their next head coach if they make a move. But I'm also not an idiot, and I know that they could do a lot worse than Hugh Freeze, given his on-field coaching record and what he's done. I don't think – so let me, to be clear, I don't think Hugh Freeze would be a failure at Tennessee. I just think there are other guys I'd go try to hire before Hugh Freeze.
I'd love to see DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Laremy Tunsil. I mean, that caliber talent wearing orange and white.
Well, and honestly, I think Tennessee has talent right now. I'd like to see someone scheme up an offense with some talent. I want to see Hendon Hooker have 2,000 yards passing and 1,000 yards rushing.
Well, he's doing that at Virginia Tech.
Because of the offense. Well, Justin Fuente is also a much better coach than what Tennessee has on offense right now. And Justin Fuente's in trouble. He's a guy that's on the hot seat all year and going into next year.
Chad, look at the clock. Look what time it is.
Oh, it is 2. Did I say 2? That's the old show schedule. 12:16 on a Wednesday, which means it's time for primary complaint. Hutton, I predict this is going to be a very fiery primary complaint. Maybe one of our best ever. Dare I say,
go ahead.
Maybe the best ever. That is what you have on deck. But to make it the best ever, we need some royal complaints from you. It is your royal right to call in right
decree.
Now and complain. 615-737-1045.
Declare prima nocta
737-1045. I want you to be that British soldier. Rolling up to a matrimony. Your henchmen beside you riding their steeds. Coming in. And you roll out the scroll. And you decree it. That it is your royal right to call in right now and complain for primary complaint. 615-737-1045. And guess what? We will not say, by God, you will not. We will not say it.
You will complain with us next. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, edleysbbq.com. Paul is fired up. He's ready for primary complaint. Chad, we've got a line available.
Just one line, and that line is no longer available because I'm about to give you the number. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. I'm fired up for primary complaint.
F-I-R-E, fire up, fire up, fire up.
Primary complaint presented by the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center in Franklin. Call 615-794-0800, 794-0800, $39. Get you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings. 615-794-0800 or visit them online. CallMePainFree.com.
Nashville traffic sucks. It's too hot outside.
Stay out of the left lane.
Bachelorette parties? Millennials? Chad hates Vandy. Paul's so negative. This is my primary complaint on the Midday 180.
My primary complaint goes to Titans fans who are upset over the Ravens posing on the logo at the 50-yard line. Did you not see your own team do it? If you haven't, Google search the image of literally 10 to 15 Titans players posing on the Ravens logo at M&T Bank Stadium. That is my primary complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain. And
yeah,
complain.
Payback hurts. Payback hurts. Suck it up, Buttercup.
My primary complaint, WandaVision. I'm not a big superhero movie geek. I like the Marvel Comics universe. I like the MCU, as all the hip kids call it. I'm a fan of those films. I'm a fan of the television products they put out also. But I see the teases for this show, and this is the start of Phase 4 of the Marvel comic universe that they're going to have on film and television. It's going to bounce back and forth. TV shows on Disney Plus will then feed into a movie. The movie will then feed back into TV shows. It's a brilliant concept. But to roll out that concept, you're going to give me a show that I have no clue what it's about, and it's a combination 60s sitcom with a comic book show? I'm being serious. The first show was filmed in front of a live studio audience, and it's a combination comedy sitcom to tell you the story of these superheroes in the Marvel comic universe. Again, it's bad. Whatever it is, don't care. Terrible. WandaVision, my primary complaint.
What channel? What is this?
That is the name of the show, right? Reed's looking at me like he has no clue what I'm
Disney
talking about.
Disney Plus, right?
No, it's on it's ABC.
It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, the ABC's, they're promoting the heck out of it, but it's going to be, it drops Friday on Disney Plus.
Well, I was curious enough to like watch one to see what it's all about, but I can't imagine I'd go beyond that.
The rumor is the first one's in front of a studio audience.
There's a billboard up on the interstate, and it had the WKRN logo on it, so that's why I thought it was. You were confusing me when you said, I heard WandaVision. I thought this was you were talking about a dude named Juan doing math. And I didn't hear WandaVision the first time that you said it.
Yeah. I thought it was a Wanda Sykes thing.
Or Chad's hatred for middle-aged women was coming back on the Wanda part of this.
Yes.
Going back to the start of our show.
Wanda. So, look, I've been over this before, but it continues to gain momentum. Look, I didn't need the photos of you and your I voted sticker. I didn't ask for you and your selfies of you wearing a mask. And I really don't need photos of your vaccination card. Save that documentation for your government overlords. I don't need to see it. And they complain
and complain and complain. Very valuable piece of paper.
Look, I commend some of these insurance companies for their fine commercial work. And I'm stunned by the degree of competition for insurance. I don't know. Are you guys dropping your insurance regularly and picking up a different one based on all this advertising? Or there are a lot of uninsured people out there that need to be swayed. My primary complaint's Allstate. This commercial with the French singing, which I walk around singing with my beautiful French accent about the Champs-Élysées. But they are very eager to reward drivers who drive so slowly that a goldfish bowl stays securely on the roof of their car, or a Jell-O mold, or a pair of slippers. Unaffected by your slow driving, all of these things are fine on the roof of their car. They want to insure you. I want to arrest you. And
they complain and complain. Stockade. 615-737-1045, our number. We go to Jordan to lead us off on primary complaint because I think he's going to strike a chord with all of us on this one. Hello, Jordan.
My primary complaint today is that stupid 1-877 Cars for Kids jingle. During commercial breaks of this great radio station, we hear this annoying ad constantly, and my blood just boils. The last thing I need in my life right now is to hear some enthusiastic kid who is out of tone, followed by a Bob Burgers lookalike who's trying to do a Johnny Cash, a poor man's Johnny Cash impersonation. I need this ad off these airwaves ASAP. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Anyone have a car they want to donate to kids to get this jingle out of my head?
I'll take it a step further. I don't know if I've ever said this before. I'm sure I'll get flack for this.
You once accepted a car for kids?
No.
That would be newsworthy.
I hate the sound of kids singing.
Wow. It's not, you know what?
Who is the yodeler kid?
It's not something I seek out either, Reed.
Who was the little kid that sang the national anthem or did the yodeling or whatever at the
Mason Ramsey?
That's it, Mason Ramsey.
You know, we had an intern that loved him, which reduced my impression of her substantially.
You got into a serious fight with Madison Blevins
about
over Mason
that?
Ramsey, right?
Yeah, I denounce Madison Blevins for her love of the kid yodeler, who I'm not going to say by name because it gives him too much respect.
I almost sent something back to Madison the other day because she said that Monday night of the national championship game is her favorite sports day of the year.
Preposterous!
And
what's
I
the
say,
stat
you,
I sent you, Hutton?
You really need to look into better sports days if this
is
your favorite day of
it's
the year.
It's a blowout Monday.
As a basketball player, it's not March? It's not the first
it's
the day
Thursday
of the tournament?
The Thursday of the NCAA tournament would be mine. It's way better. A wild card, super wild card weekend. Pick one of the days.
I like the kickoff of college season more than I like the finish.
Yes, the first Saturday of college football.
Here's a stat for Maddie from Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk. This is Madison's favorite day.
Why not Michael Smith?
I don't know. But he's very good on Twitter. I really do think Pro Football Talk holds this guy back because he doesn't write these things because Florio does all the opinion things. So he's reduced to tweeting very good things like this. In the 7 years of the college football playoff, the average margin of victory for the winning team in all playoff games has been 19 points. So Madison's favorite day of the year, she watches teams win by 20.
Well, even worse, ratings are way down. I think I said that to you guys.
Good.
Way down.
Turn
from
it off.
Last year to this year.
Turn it off.
Something else I saw, you said Michael or Mike. It made me laugh. There is a possible cabinet appointee for Joe Biden in like a diversity and inclusion something secretary, or I just saw this pop up on Twitter.
Yeah.
The name of the person is Mike Leach. And the New York Times put the bio of Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach. Promise.
What?
They said someone at the New York Times Googled the wrong Mike Leach.
They wanted to pick up.
I got to find.
The Raiders are off the hook for the Wizard Hunt mistake.
Better than Michael Roch, I guess. Let's go next to Easton. Oh. Easton, welcome.
Maybe it is.
Gentlemen,
Mike Leach.
Good afternoon.
What's
up? So, NFL is my favorite, right? And so I love everything about the NFL. Love the offseason as well. Love the storylines and the narratives you can follow. But what I hate is narratives that are clearly dead ends. And I think that this Watson trade is an all-time dead-end narrative. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And I know the new GM, Nick Caserio, is not going to go and take that job and then immediately trade away their player who is by far their greatest asset, because they're never going to get equal value for him. And right now the popular talk is Dolphins for Tua trade, and I have a television and functioning eyes, and I think that the Texans probably do too. They may be a dumb franchise, and they are, but they're not brain dead. The only way he goes somewhere else is if he becomes completely non-compliant, refuses to practice or play or anything, and I just don't see him doing that. But they're not going to trade him willingly. But regardless of all that common sense, we're going to sit here for the next 4, 5, 6 months and talk about where Watson's going to go when he's just going to end up back in the Texans organization. That's my primary complaint.
Yeah, it's a good complaint. Way too much wind to that Miami report, which is constructed by Watson's agent. It'd be Tua and a lot more. But still, like, why are we giving that so much wind when neither Houston or Miami, I mean, sure, Miami would do it, but there's no substance to it. It's created by a third party.
So what do you do if you're Houston?
You
either hire the coach that he wants or you trade him.
You have to make it work.
Now even Andre Johnson is telling Deshaun Watson to stay on your ground.
Yeah, but you hire.
Now he becomes the purpose of every player in the NFL that wants to get his way.
It's a very NBA-like maneuver by Deshaun Watson.
But here's the thing. You hire whoever you want, and you make it work. You olive branch, olive branch, olive branch. And when he stops showing up, if he stops showing up, they are legitimate fines, huge money. That is he just going to sit at home and sacrifice huge money? I mean, the huge money just drips away. These are bigger than the Vic Beasley fines, bigger than 50 a day. These are percentage of contracts a day that are not refundable. So
it's
if he's going to take
it to
that
stance
end,
from
I,
both
I can't imagine.
Ends.
The new coach comes in and eventually gets to him and makes peace. And they should probably fire Easterby.
Well,
the Easterby
doesn't
thing
sound
is
like that's
strange.
Happening.
How tied to Easterby they
yeah.
are, of
yeah,
all
look,
people.
John really downplays Easterby, and I understand why, but he's a problem.
Well,
clearly he's a problem because there's a lot of people talking about him being a problem.
He's constantly talked about.
And perception is reality when it comes to that.
Right. It's just, you don't hear Andre Johnson say much.
Oh, I know. That's
so
a
whenever he comes out publicly and says, hey,
people
Deshaun,
listen.
Stand your ground.
People
don't give in to them.
That's big.
So now, if you're Deshaun Watson, what do you pick up the phone when the new coach calls? If it's not,
also if you're the coach, enemy? If you're the coach coming in there now, and you're not the enemy,
right?
You're coming in, and your first job is damage assessment and control. It's a massive job before you make one X or O.
And it's not just Deshaun Watson; the number of players on the roster retweeting Andre Johnson.
Oh, and former
everybody's
players.
With Deshaun.
And former players.
That
everybody's,
are speaking out. Right. Arian Foster being one of them.
Everybody's with Deshaun.
Every time I hear...
When's the last time we heard from Arian Foster? I mean, my God, he's been on Mars.
Well, it's funny because I think he even tweeted something like, I haven't been following it that closely, but he's right. Like, I really have no idea what's going on in football, but...
But I'm with Deshaun.
Every time I hear the enemy, I think the enemy.
Yes, who doesn't?
When he says, well, they hire the enemy. What? Oh, the enemy. Eric the enemy. Patrick on Twitter says, David Reed is a dark-hearted scoundrel.
Yes.
The man hates children singing and thinks Dolly Parton is overrated. How dare you, sir?
Dark-hearted scoundrel. Get some audio for that, like Sheriff.
Sheriff of Scooptown?
Yeah.
I found more Sheriff drops the other day that I could add to that.
Oh, God. You've been having some fun, haven't you?
He has a blast.
I'm going to get a Sheriff's mustache. Old school
mustache.
Sheriff.
We should actually get someone in here to deputize you.
I am a Kentucky colonel.
We all are.
That pisses David off so much. How pissed are you at that?
No, I'm completely fine with not being associated with the state of the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
What did Murfreesboro give you? You're a constable of the law or something like that?
I can't remember it. It's close to constable, but it's not that. Some crazy term.
You're an SRO.
Some crazy term that sounds fantastic and means nothing.
Yeah. Deputy. Maybe.
No, it's better.
Deputized. I don't know.
I've been deputized as some crazy term.
Catfish Jake is the mayor of Bridgestone Arena. What's up, Jake? Who's singing the anthem tomorrow night?
I have no idea, buddy. I don't know much about what's going on tomorrow night. I'd love to get my son in there. He's been dying to go to a game. I thought it was closed to everybody. But
how does Catfish Jake, of all people, not have, and this is on the Preds, not have some sort of in to get into the building?
They have live catfish in a tank, and they do not name one of them Jake.
It's really infuriating
and head-scratching to me that there can't be one. There needs to be some sort of ceremonial catfish toss or something.
Yeah,
with Catfish Jake. We got to make this happen. I mean the Preds has to make this happen, not us.
It's too easy.
We call the Preds we a lot. Not only does he not have an in, I think they hate him.
Nah, who knows? I don't really care if they name anything or what, any of that stuff.
Yeah, you're very modest.
He's also very loyal to us, which we appreciate.
We'll hype you up, Jake. Don't worry. You don't have to hype yourself. No. When you have a hype man, you don't need to be your own hype man, so we'll hype you up. Go ahead with your complaint.
Hey, real quick, you know, it is a very, very limited attendance tomorrow night. So will the Masters. Are we going to Augusta National as a patron this year, this April?
If we can get our hands on tickets and they're not astronomical, buddy, we'll be there.
Your uncle's got to come. It's time for Chad and your uncle to reconnect.
He's retired now. He's got plenty of time.
Plenty of time to screw us on the meeting place.
You got to wear the shirt. So my complaint is Kroger click list. Let me just say a caveat. If you're sick or you are elderly or you have COVID or whatever, I think it's a great thing. But the people who sit in the Kroger click list parking lot and then gripe and yell at the kids who, and it's primarily teenagers, who bring their groceries to their car because they're too lazy. I don't give a damn what they say. You have time to go grocery shopping. The fact that you're too lazy to go grocery shopping, you can click a list. And then when you get your groceries, they've substituted this for that because they ran out. It's not the teenager who brings it to your car's fault for you to sit on your high horse because you had Pilates class that day or Orange Theory that day to yell at them because you can't go in and get your own groceries. Go get your own groceries for the love of God, people.
So they're complaining. They're complaining about like the off-brand. Like if I go get,
they'll complain at the kid like it's the kid's fault.
If I'm out of Dr. Pepper and they bring Dr. Thunder, that would be what you're talking about.
They rarely switch things out. They'll just say they don't have it.
Right.
They'll just tell you we didn't have these items. They just cross them out.
Items?
It's insane. Just go shop for yourself.
Thank you, Jake.
Good to hear from you, Jake.
615-737-1045, a number. Brian is next. Hey, Brian.
Hutt, Chad, hey. Sheriff, good afternoon. I'm with Jordan, by the way. That was going to be my primary complaint for next week. I'm willing to donate the car I'm still paying for so I don't have to hear that commercial anymore. I mean, it absolutely drives me nuts. Listen to it on iHeartRadio. They play it more than y'all actually do in studio. So
lucky you.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I normally don't even desire to buy anything from television, especially that it will require them to ship it to me. But recently I've seen a surge protector, which is pretty convenient. It was made in a tower form. And if you've ever used a surge protector with just a standard bar, you know, it can get kind of tricky with all the wires being crossed over. And, you know, it was pretty convenient to the way they had this thing set up. My complaint is two things. One, anytime I see one of these things that's seen on TV, what do they do at the end of every commercial? But if you act now, we'll throw in an additional one. All you have to do is pay shipping and handling. Well, there's two issues. The price that you're charging me is actually for two. If you're throwing in an extra one, I'm literally paying for two. So why not give me that, what I want, at the price of one? And secondly, why are you charging me an additional shipping and handling if you're putting it in the same box? I digress. Y'all have a good day. I'll talk to y'all later.
You must have two, and they must ship it the way they want to ship it. I don't want any of those items just because of that. They have me, and then they do that, and then I'm out.
They always make it look great, though.
Oh, the packaging and the presentation.
Yeah.
Terrific. Now that's like that on Instagram and Twitter, where I buy stuff all the time, and I'm disappointed, and I keep buying it.
615-737-1045, our number. We have a handful of lines open, but if you're Randy, Eric, or Murphy, your phone calls will be up first. Rapid
Murphy
fire.
Fair calls in very little.
Is he wearing a hat little. While he calls in?
Yes. Yes. It would be if he's wearing a hat if that's Murphy Fair.
Need more Murphy in this world. That's what we need.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue to the phones. Randy, what's up?
I complain.
Not too much, guys. All right, Twitter. I've been active like a little bit over a year. I've made it up to 18 followers.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Congrats.
My daughter, Ricky, in West End is one. About 12 of them are ladies under the age of 25 who I'm guessing have no interest in sports at all. Now, where do they come from? How do I get rid of them? And why? I'm a 61-year-old dude who's perfectly happy with my 58-year-old wife. How do you keep them from coming into my Twitter account?
Listen.
I'm just tired. I'm trying to get rid of the jet motor. Do they get my comments when I put them on Twitter? Are these ladies of the night in their lingerie reading about Titan stuff?
How many numbers are in their handles?
Pardon?
How many numbers are
their
in
phone
their
numbers
handles?
Are there?
I don't know.
It's Katie 615-73.
I'm trying to check if they're bots.
I don't think they care about
they're bots.
Phone numbers.
I think he's joking. They're clearly bots.
I think they're thinking I'll go sit somewhere by myself. I don't think they care about phone numbers.
Well, good luck to you with them.
Randy ready to delete them. That's a good one.
So speaking of phone numbers, we were rewatching some of the Office episodes the other day, and the one where Phyllis gets flashed by the guy,
yeah,
which should have been named the Scranton Dangler, by the way, that episode. So she prints up the flyers that have Dwight's photo on there in the 1-800 number. If you call that 1-800 number, it's actually a sex hotline.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
It's well done. Very well done.
We go to Murphy. Murphy, welcome.
What's happening, fellas? That was K for Cars with Kids, right? Not a C.
Yeah, it's sure.
K, yeah.
Hey, car washes. I think we need an ordinance, at least here in Murfreesboro, for these drive-through car washes. That the new ones that get built need a second tunnel right beside it so you can practice by going through these things. Because literally, there's an 8-foot sign. The guy points to it: neutral and no brakes. I'm out.
I'm honestly shocked.
The practice line.
When you see those, though.
The first-timer line.
The practice airport.
But we all know how dumb people can be, right?
Yes.
And when you see the precision it takes at times to get it lined up right and to actually follow directions, I'm shocked someone doesn't gun it and hit someone in that car wash more often.
I admit I'm scared of the Jiffy Lube. Like, I think I'm going to drive into the
pit,
fall down the pit. And these guys are just casually like, yeah, they're come. They're not even looking.
I love when they're talking to each yeah. other and just telling you, come on.
Yeah, and
come
they're
on.
Not even looking if I'm lined up or not. I'm like, okay, can you look at my tires at least? Tell me if I'm close.
Yeah, I'm sure there has been incidents before, but that someone hasn't, instead of hitting the brake, hits the gas and pins some poor high school kid up against the wall at one of those car wash places.
Super quick wash.
When this show needs a little boost of energy, we go to Eric. Eric, welcome.
Hey, guys. This goes back to NFL earlier. This is another NFL thing. My primary complaint is that I heard another report earlier this morning that three Miami Dolphins, anonymous players, talked to the Miami Herald and were not too thrilled with Tua Tagovailoa being the starter. They didn't like his practice habits. They didn't like the way he played. They preferred Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, of course, you probably also heard stories about the fact that the Dolphins may be ready to move off Tua and draft another quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy when you hear anonymous sources or reliable sources. It's like they'll probably get revealed if the story is true. But what happens if the story is not true? Of course, they'll never say who it was that started those stories. But, of course, their credibility then gets shot. Y'all guys.
Hey, Eric, hold on 1 second. Let me ask you a question. How often do you check ESPN.com's NFL page daily? Oh, he hung up.
It's true that those four guys didn't like him.
Is this a morning reading? Like everything no. Eric calls in about, he got from ESPN.com in a story.
He's on top of every story.
He's on top of all of it, but is it a morning check-in where he reads the headlines of the day, or is he constantly refreshing to get different stories?
I think
I've always wanted to ask Eric that question.
Paul, are you?
Because every call starts with, I was reading on ESPN.com, and then he goes into the
Are you story. On board with his anonymous sources talk in regards to what's going on in Miami?
I believe there are guys in Miami who didn't like Tua. Talking about it.
They also won with Fitzpatrick at a root, you know, it was a consistent basis this year.
I mean, it's clear that Tua was limited this year. The question is, how much can you grow him?
Scott, final call for primary complaint. What's up, Scott?
Oh, man. Y'all feel like y'all saved the best for last.
We did.
My primary complaint are people that even in the call of the show or not call of the show that believe that they should call and tell other people what they should and shouldn't do. For example, the Kroger line, the convenience of that. It's a convenience that's offered through a damn grocery store. If you can't do it right, Paul, echo me. If you can't do it right, then don't offer the convenience. And don't be frustrated when people get mad because something is not done right that's offered. So either offer it, either don't offer it or offer it and do it well.
Crap, get off the pot.
But other people don't sit back and judge. Like the resident butt kisser, Jake.
Oh, wow. A little
gauntlet thrown at the end of the show.
Celebrity boxing match coming up.
Spicy.
I tend to lean with the thinking.
I bet Scott got tickets to the Preds game.
Yeah. I tend to lean with
the
thinking. You
know the Preds loved on her? Scott.
I tend to lean with the thinking that if you offer a service, you better than the expectation for good customer service is there.
I look forward to Catfish Jake's response.
Yeah. Stay tuned tomorrow for Catfish Jake's rebuttal.
Then listen to my retort.
That's it for the show. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
Don't block the box and do lock the locks. We love you.